We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And it's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And week two of football's in the books. Now it's time to get ready for week three. No better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 3, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. So listen to this. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. You can place a $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you cash $100. How can you pass that up? All you need to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. That's pick any team during Week 3, bet a dollar on them, and you win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dusty, it's quarter number four, and I wanted to get your take on James Franklin's very candid comments about the 2021 recruiting class. And to set the stage for it, let me just give you some of the numbers. Their recruiting class in 2021 is currently ranked 33rd in the country, 8th in the Big Ten, and they do not have even one top 10 recruit from the state of Pennsylvania. What is going on?
I think it's that last number that you mentioned, not having a top 10 player from the state of Pennsylvania. That really was the fuel behind James Franklin saying what he said. I saw the sentiment out there on social media, like Landon Tangwall, Penn State's best commit so far, fielded a question just about saying, you know, James Franklin doesn't have a lot of confidence in you guys. And really, I think what it felt like the whole like great versus elite thing that he said after losing to Ohio State a couple years ago. Like, maybe I shouldn't have said it this way, but I can appreciate the candor, though. And I know, I mean, you know, looking back at 2020 and 2021, the best players from Pennsylvania have gotten away. So I think, yeah, they haven't gotten a job done as far as that goes. And I think he was probably thinking about Nolan Rucci, who just committed to Wisconsin. And I'm sure he was thinking about Dejon Warren from Lackawanna College, who committed to Georgia. That was a big surprise. He also mentioned, you know, this thing's not over yet. Penn State's got 13 commits on the board. They probably only have room to get to, what, about 18, maybe 18 or so in this class. So you're going to see this class with the national ranking that you're not accustomed to. And I think Penn State staff is okay with that part of it. They, you know, I think their own evaluations are going to speak volumes, which, by the way, I think maybe they've been a little bit slower, a little bit more hesitant on some other guys because they haven't had a chance to see a lot of these guys because of the whole dead period, which is now lingering into the, you know, the new year. So I think there's a lot of reasons, and we've covered them, you know, to ad nauseum. We've covered them on the show, but there's reasons for it. And I think what he was speaking to was letting guys from Pennsylvania get away more than anything else. And I think he's probably right about that.
My take on it, Dustin, is first of all, you made reference to the comment he made a couple years ago where we're not elite yet. And he was heavily criticized for that essentially no good could come from that comment. And perhaps that's correct. I appreciate the candor. And for him to be somewhat critical, and I don't look at it as so much critical of the players that they brought in as he's being critical of his own coaching staff, that they didn't do the job, they didn't live up to their standards. As a fan, I appreciate that candor because a lot of times you question whether coaching staffs and I do this across any sport, are they aware of what's going on? Are they aware of what we as fans see as obvious? Don't give me this, oh, you people, you just don't understand like we do. He's actually ready to admit that, hey, we haven't done the job we should be doing.
Even more so for me, Jim, like this environment, like the media environment and what a coach is thinking about, when you say something, when you say anything, it gets parceled out and piecemealed and thrown out of context into a lot of headlines. You know, you have a lot of kind of like national college football blogs and stuff who are cherry picking from people who are writing local stories. You know, everybody's on the Penn State beat. So what you end up doing anytime you open up and say something honest, you almost get punished for it. And I hate that about this environment. And you can see why Bill Belichick says nothing. You can see why so many coaches only speaking cliches. You can see why players are taught to only speaking cliches, only say positive things, don't say anything of substance. This whole like frantic news cycle and the parceling out of information and pulling individual quotes or three words out of a quote, taking it out of context, putting it in a headline, it very much discourages honest behavior from anybody. And James Franklin has had two of these honest moments, and he probably regrets them as a result, where I think you're exactly right. We should find that kind of self-actualization refreshing. Coaches, you know, behind the scenes are inherently pessimistic people. They have to be. You have to see all the negatives within your program. You have to see every area where things need to be improved. So when they ditch what they are behind the scenes and they go out in front of microphones and they only say, you know, cliche positive things, like that's not honest at all, just by default. And I don't blame them for that. But I wish we would have a coach not get killed. And I don't think he did this time around, but he did the last time, the great versus elite thing. It's true. Let him say something that's true, but it's just, I think the toothpaste is out of the tube. You know, we have too many places, with too much pressure to generate headlines that get results, and you take an honest moment and you make a coach regret it. And then that means the next time he comes out in front of a microphone, he's not going to say anything that's fun or entertaining or honest.
What happens during these honest moments, Dusty, is people will get on you later on in hindsight. So that if the following year Penn State had beaten Ohio State and made the college playoffs, would look back and say, wow, you know, that was a great thing, him saying it. Because that didn't happen, it's easy in hindsight to look back and say, gee, he probably wishes he hadn't said that. I'll look at it this time around, him saying 2021 has been a disappointment in recruiting, but let's see what happens in 2022. If a year from now we're talking about this great 2022 class, might we look back at this moment and say, see, he did do something about it. And that moment of self-awareness, well, not only was he aware, but he did something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. I think the 2021 thing it's a little bit exaggerated because of the lack of numbers. It's also, you know, you piggyback on the 2020 class, which also had a little air of disappointment to it. That one finished in the mid-teens national rankings-wise, but it's almost exclusively because they took so many kids. They took 27 kids in that class, and that fuels your math a little bit. They went against the grain in 2020. They missed out on Julian Fleming in 2020. They missed out on Brian Bresee in 2020. So I think you have two classes in a row that have that hint of disappointment, which kind of creates this atmosphere where there's pessimism. And I think to a certain extent, it's overstated. I think anything in college football is overstated. It's exaggerated. You're getting if you view the college football season as a book, you're getting one chapter at a time and determining what the whole book is about, right? So anytime there's a bad situation, a bad loss or this or that, you know, bad coaching call, you paint it with a really broad brush. And that's what's going on, part of it. The other thing, if you go to, if you check out Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated, he's a recruiting analyst for Rivals locally. He's been pretty open about what these challenges are for Penn State and why they're overstated a bit. So if you look at Rivals' national class rankings, Penn State is number 39 in their rankings. But when it comes to average star rating by rivals, they have the 12th best class in the country. And what matters most? The overall quantity-driven national ranking, which is true across the board, or the quality on a per-player basis, especially in this situation where they're going to take a small class?
I've always been the advocate of the quality, Dustin, and I didn't do it this time, and I should have, given that number as opposed to just ranking 33rd in the country, which is also heavily based on the number of recruits that you bring in. But also, talking of high quality, you know, quality over quantity, you pointed this out, but in the last couple of years, you missed the Bressy and Julian Fleming. This year, you know, Caleb Williams, the five-star quarterback from D.C., typically a Penn State recruiting area, he went to Oklahoma. And, of course, Nolan Rucci went to Wisconsin. Is it not a case where, you know, if you want to call it big game hunting, you're going after the big prize, that means you're up against Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State and Oklahoma. You're up against the very big boys, and you're probably going to lose more often than you win when you're in that kind of competition.
Penn State remains a regional recruit. I mean, their region has stretched, but when it comes to their footprint, it remains the same. I think the difference in some of these recruitments really is Penn State on a, you know, almost there on a national level. And these guys that you all mentioned, they're all national recruitments. And Penn State is not really winning national recruiting battles against these other teams because, you know, all these teams have been there. Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, they've all been where Penn State wants to go. And I think sometimes that makes a big difference with a five-star. Your Georgia, these are national recruitments that are happening inside your state. And I think that is more the thing than I think than not taking care of business in your home state. Five stars are a whole different ballgame. I've been pretty open about how I feel about that. And it just happens that the five stars from Pennsylvania aren't staying within the state because Penn State isn't offering that playoff experience quite like those other programs are. I think that's the fact. Until they can get over the top, they might be on the losing end of more five stars, even if they're from Pennsylvania.
And when you're recruiting a five-star, no matter where he's from, he's no longer a regional recruit. He's a national recruit. And when you're a national recruit, that means you're going to be up against the best. It's not like, all right, we're playing Pitt or Indiana this week. We're playing Clemson or Ohio State. So you're up against the best. All right, that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all of the Week 3 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. Pick any team during Week 3, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's code KSN during sign-up. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.